listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Thy word is a lamp.
Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God that was slain. Oh, we bless God for who He is, for what He has done for us and what He's doing in this season. We thank God for this privilege to be here again to bring forth the good news of Jesus Christ. Good news, people of God. We are hearing so much bad news out there, but thanks be to God, we have the good news with us. Jesus Christ saves. What a privilege we do have to be called His children and to be able to go to His word and find life, find hope, find peace, find mercy, find grace, find everything that we need. So we bless God for His word to us. And we pray as the word continue to go forth that our lives will be transformed, and those who are not yet saved will hear the word and come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So we are going to go continuing the epistle of Paul to the Romans. We are in chapter 2. Last week we stopped at verse 14, and we are going to continue from there. So let us pray and begin. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We just thank you for who you are. Thank you for your many blessings in our lives. Thank you for this another opportunity to bring forth your word. Thank you, O God, that you are with us, O God, and that you, O God, it is you who keep us from falling and present us faultless before you. So we just thank you, O God, Almighty Lord Jesus, for your word to your people this evening. And we pray, O God, we will not just be hearers of your word, but we will practice what you say. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you will fall afresh upon us, so that we, O God, will go forth in power. O God, live in your word, not just speakers, not just teachers, not just hearers of your word, O God, but doers of your word, bringing honor and glory to your great name. Hear us as we call upon you this evening. Breathe upon us, Almighty God. O God, we pray this evening that we will all cast all our cares on you because you care for us. We pray, O God, in this evening that nothing will hinder the word from going forth and penetrating the hearts of your people. We pray, O God Almighty, and we give everything into your hands this evening. Take full control, Almighty God. You be glorified in this place. You be honored, O God. You be magnified, mighty God, because you alone are God and there is none else. So we praise you. We give you glory. We thank you for your word, which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We thank you for your word, O God, which brings illumination to your people. O God, that we will not stumble, but we will stand firmly in our faith, trusting your word, O mighty God. For your word, O God, is secure. O God, only, O God, on your word can we build. Only on you, Jesus, the solid foundation can we build. So we thank you, O God Almighty, that our structure is secure in you. Oh God, thank you today that we stand, oh God and mighty Lord Jesus, on your word, and nothing will move us. So we bless you, we praise and honor and give you glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. So we continue in Romans chapter 2, verse 14. Last week we stopped at verse 14. Just want to recap a little on verse 14. Paul was saying, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. What was Paul saying? When the Gentiles who did not have the guidance of the law, when they practice right living, remember the Jewish people have the law, they have hard copies of the law. Moses was given the law from God for his people to have a guide to practice right living. But the Gentiles did not have this law. So what Paul was saying, The Gentiles who did not have the guidance of the law practice right living. They did not have a tangible copy of the law of God to follow. But God put in every man a conscience. This has become their law or their guide. So it is just reminding us that every human being knows right from wrong. But when we stop listening to the voice of our conscience, our inner weakness, it becomes dead or silent. So we proceed to do evil without feeling guilty. Our conscience become what? Seared, burned, dead. So we don't want our conscience to reach that stage, people of God. We want to have that sense of right and wrong. We want to have the guide of our conscience. So the Gentiles did not have the law, Paul was saying. But they have their conscience as their guide. But when the conscience is seared, when the conscience becomes dead, then we have no guides. So we continue to practice sin without feeling guilty. There's no conviction anymore. People of God, we don't want to reach that stage where there is no conviction in our hearts anymore. We do sinful things and we're not feeling guilty anymore. Something is wrong. The word of God tells us in 1 Timothy 4:1-2, Paul was saying, speaking to Timothy, he said, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." People of God, we don't want our conscience to be seared, but we want to have live consciences where we know and we practice the right thing. And when we go wrong, we know that we need to run to God and cry out to him to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Romans chapter 2 verse 15 says, "Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another." So Paul was speaking of Gentiles who did not have the written law of God. They did not have a hard copy to look at, but their lifestyle showed that God's law is in their hearts. Their inner guide, their conscience, testifying of this truth, and their thoughts will either accuse or excuse them. So when we have God's law in our hearts, when we have our inner weakness, our conscience alive and doing that work that it is called to do, then we are going to walk in truth. And when we are out of line, we will know, for we are going to feel guilty. Guilt will come upon us when we are out of line. And when we are doing the right thing, we will know also. And we will find that joy and that peace in our lives. The people of God, God is calling us to live right, to do right, to practice what is right, and to let our conscience be our guide. The Holy Spirit is in us, those who have put their trust in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is in us, and he convicts us of sin. So when we sin, he convicts us. And when he convicts us, we are to run to him and cry out, "Father God, forgive me of all my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness." But when the conviction comes, people of God, and we ignore it, then we continue to do the wrong thing and continue to do it over and over. After a while, the guilt is not there anymore because we become hardened in our sinful state. We don't want to be hardened in our sinful state, people of God, but we want to allow God's word to transform us, to change us, and to make us more like Jesus. Verse 16 of Romans chapter 2. "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." So Paul was saying a day is coming when God shall judge the secrets of men, the secret things that we do at times that no one knows about. God knows The word of God tells us that we stand naked before him. He sees and knows the secret of our hearts. He sees and knows the evil things that we practice. He knows what the word of God is telling us, that Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming to judge every man according as their work shall be. When we look back, we can look on John 5, 22 to 23 as our reference. The word of God says, "For the Father judgeth no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which has sent him." So Jesus himself spoke these words, that he is the one who is going to judge us. "For the Father judgeth no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son, Jesus Christ." So as Paul was saying, that all men will be judged by Jesus Christ. So we have to come to know and understand that he is our righteous judge, and we will be judged according to all the things that we have done. Those done in secret that no man knows about. But God knows, because he is God. He sees everything. He knows everything. His word said we stand naked before him. So let us practice right living, people of God. In the secret place, let us practice right living. Out there in the public, let us practice right living. For God sees us wherever we are. Let us remember that God is omnipresent. He's everywhere at every time. He sees everything. He knows everything. He is God. So let us know that we can't hide from him. We're going to be looking at verse 17 through 20 together. He said, "Behold, thou art called a Jew, and rested in the law, and maketh thy boast in God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law." So Paul was now addressing the Jewish people at this time. He was saying that they trust in the law and are always boasting about God. They claim to know his will and approved of the more honorable things after having the instructions from the law of God. So the Jews have become self-confident that they are God's chosen people to guide other nations that are blind to the things of God. A light to those that are in darkness. A light to those that are in sin. So Paul was saying that they became instructors to the foolish and teachers to babes, teachers to immature ones. But Paul was saying they have a form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. It's a form they have, a form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. So it is not enough, people of God, for us to have a form of knowledge. But we want to truly know God. Do we know him? We want to know him personally and to be in an intimate relationship with him. Paul cried out. Remember Paul? The Apostle Paul. He was so much an ardent law keeper. He was a Pharisee. He himself said a Pharisee of the Pharisee, blameless in keeping the law. But he cried out in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him. He wants to know Jesus, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. So Paul cried out that he wants to know him. So we don't just want to have a form of knowledge, but we truly want to know Jesus Christ personally. know him personally and to be in an intimate relationship with him. And knowledge of the word of God is not enough. We need to know the word. Who is Jesus Christ himself? We need to know him personally, people of God. That we will not walk in hypocrisy. There will be no guile in us. No hypocrisy will be in us. Because we are walking in the knowledge of who our Lord Jesus Christ is. In him is no guile. And if we are found in him, there is no guile in us also. No form of deception, no form of hypocrisy will be in us. We will be like him. Oh, we want to know him. And that should be our cry, people of God. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That I may experience the resurrection power. I may experience the Holy Spirit power. And that should be our cry. That we know Jesus, not just having a form of knowledge, as Paul was saying here to the Jewish people. You have a form of knowledge, but you don't truly know him. We want to know him. We don't want to just be speaking God's words, but we want to be practicing what Jesus says so that we can truly represent him. We are called to be ambassadors of Christ Jesus. We are called to represent him well. We are called to be sons and daughters of the King. And the word of God tells us that the creation is groaning. Creation is crying out for the manifestation of the sons of God. And when we know him personally, people of God, then we will be able to represent him well. And the world will see Christ in us. We'll see him and glorify his great name. When they see him in us, they will come to love him. They will come to want him to be their Savior and Lord because they see him manifested in us. Only goodness comes from him. Only mercy comes from him. Only justice comes from him. Only love comes from him, people of God. They will come to know him as Lord and Savior when we start to reflect Christ in every area of our lives. The Lord Jesus himself spoke in John 13, 34 and 35. His word reminds us. He said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. He said, this is how the world will know that you are my disciples, when you show love for one another. So when we start to practice love, we truly have a knowledge of love. Christ himself is love. When we truly start to love, then all the other virtues will just flow from us. We will be merciful. We will be kind. We will be peaceful. We will be joyful. We will endure. We will be long-suffering like him. We will be self-controlled like him. People of God, we want to be like Jesus. We want to know him personally. We will be humble like him. We will be meek like him. We want to learn him. We want to know him and walk in his truth. Walk daily, showing forth his glory and his praise, manifesting the light. We are the light of the world. We are that city set on a hill. Our standard has to be higher than the world standard. Jesus is calling us to know him personally and to go and to reflect him in this dark world. The world is dark, but we are the light. Let our light so shine before men. People of God, let us not hide our light under a bushel, but let our light so shine. The word of God tells us in Romans 12, verse 21. Thou therefore which teacheth another, teachest thou not thyself? That's a question Paul asks. Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? So Paul was asking these questions of the Jews. You are teaching others. Are you teaching yourself? And people of God, we have to stop and look into this. Are we teaching ourselves? Sometimes we are just teachers. We are teaching others. But are we teaching ourselves? Are we learning from what we are teaching others? Are we learning ourselves? We need to learn Jesus. We must first learn before we go to teach. Let us learn him. And then when we go to teach him, others will know that we know him. Others will know that we know Jesus, the Word. So it will not just be head knowledge, but we will be speaking from a place of intimacy because we know him personally. So people of God, we want not just to be teachers, good teachers and good preachers of the Word, but we want to start to live the Word ourselves, not just preaching it, but living it, practicing it, because we have learned the Word. We must learn Christ. He's the Word. So we must first learn him before we go to teach. He was saying that those that proclaim that a man should not steal, is he himself a thief? So we have to look into ourselves. We don't want to just go and preach and teach God's word, but we want to be living God's word. We want to be true. We want to be holy. We want to be righteous. We want to reflect Christ in every area of our lives. So the word of God is reminding us today, as Paul was speaking then and now speaking to us through the same word, are we just teaching and not learning? Are we teaching ourselves? So let us be teachers of ourselves also. Be willing to learn God's word and be willing to go forth to teach others from a place of knowing the word, knowing Jesus, who is the word. Verse 22 of Romans chapter 2. Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? So Paul was saying, the things that they were telling others not to do, were they doing it? That's a question he was asking them. Are you doing it, what you're telling others not to do? Such as, do not commit adultery. Were they themselves committing adultery? Were they themselves committing adultery? That's what Paul was asking them. And we see here Jesus gave us that clear picture of adultery. Adultery is not just the physical act, as Jesus himself pointed out in Matthew 5, 27 and 28. Let us refer to that scripture and see what Jesus said. He said, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. And that was what was written in the law of Moses, Exodus 20, 14. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. So Jesus was showing that it's not just the physical act, but those who are lusting after others, those who are lusting in their hearts, have already committed adultery. So Paul was saying, do you who are preaching against adultery, are you committing adultery? Those that hate idols, those that hate idol worshiping, are those that speak against idolatry, are they committing sacrilege? What is sacrilege? It is sin of wrongfully using sacred things. It's a sin of wrongfully using sacred things. Are we sinning? Are we wrongfully using sacred things? Are we committing sacrilege? Let us be careful, people of God. Even when we go to take the Lord's Supper, let us be careful. Those are sacred things. Let us be careful that we are living right. We are in right relationship with Jesus Christ. We are not living in sin. We are not practicing sin. Let us not take the Lord's Supper unworthily, lest we bring down sickness and death on ourselves. We have to be careful that we are not committing sacrilege, sin of wrongfully using sacred things. So Paul was making it clear to the Romans at this time, but to us now in this time, that we also must be very careful. The same sin that we're preaching about or teaching about let us not be practicing those things, but let us live right. Let us live the word, live for Jesus Christ, and walk in truth and holiness. Verse 23 of Romans chapter 2. Thou that makest thy boast of the law through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God. So Paul was speaking to the Jewish people who frequently boast of having God's law given to the Jewish people. But because they keep breaking the law, they dishonor God's name. So that's what Paul was saying to them. You're frequently boasting that you are God's chosen people. The law was given to you, but you are breaking the law. And when you break the law, you dishonor the name of God. You dishonor the character of God. We dishonor his great name. We dishonor who he is. Let us be careful that we don't dishonor the character of God by breaking his law. Verse 24, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. So Paul was saying the name of God is dishonored among the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people, because of the ways the Jewish people lived. They were constantly breaking God's law and dishonoring the name of God. So we don't want to dishonor the name of God, people of God. When we don't live right, we dishonor the name of God. We want to live right. Do what is right at all times so that we will honor the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our goal, our aim is to honor his name, is to walk and to live according to his will. Verse 25 of Romans chapter 2. For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. The word of God is telling us the state of circumcision, which is that covenant that God made with Abraham. Paul was saying to the Jews that it will only profit them if they practice the law. But if they break the law, then their circumcision is to no avail. They are not in a better position than the Gentiles. That's what Paul was saying. The uncircumcised there he speak about, he's referring to the Gentiles. They are not in a better state if they are not truly practicing God's law. So you might have the word of God. You might be a teacher or a preacher of the word of God. You might know the word of God and you keep repeating it and you memorize it and you know it, but you're not practicing it. It's of no avail. It doesn't benefit you. It doesn't profit you. So we want to be people who will practice God's word and will continually live according to his will, bringing honor and glory to his name. We are to show forth the glory and praise of our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you here this evening. We'll stop there and we'll continue next week in Romans chapter 2. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again for your word to your people. Thank you that you are calling us to right living. We pray in the name of Jesus through the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh God, that you will help us to walk right, to live right, to do, oh God Almighty Lord, what you have called us to do. In honesty, oh God Almighty, looking unto you, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Father God, we just thank you that you are preparing us for your coming and you are calling us to right living. And we pray that we will not just be hearers of your word, but doers of your word. We thank you and we give you praise as we look to you by faith. In Jesus' precious name we pray and we say amen, amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful rest of the evening and have a wonderful weekend as we continue to study God's word and practice his word daily. God bless you. Amen. Amen.
Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word. Thy word is a lamp. You can reach us and 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy word is a lamp.